in our homes is not necessarily what actually God meant or said. When we communicate to our children that no matter what, if you pray with faith, God will grant you your wish. Is this truly what God said? Is what He meant? Wouldn't this make him, whenever he tries and it doesn't work, to be offended in God? Did God mean that? No matter what you say, as far as you say in the name of a saint, God will always guarantee this, even if this is against the goodwill of him towards you. Many of the things that we teach are just traditions that we grow to learn from our culture. Maybe they are good, but we have to differentiate between this biblical or this is what I understand from how I was raised. Another cause of offenses at home also is neglecting the saving doctrines of God. We understand that man to be saved by believing in a certain way and acting according to this belief. Both of them, they complement one another. If I don't have the right belief, my salvation is endangered. And I'm not living up to what I believe, it is the same. Sometimes we tell our children, directly or indirectly, that all these talks about dogma are not significant. It's not a big deal. At the end of the day, if you love Jesus, this is what matters. It doesn't matter if you believe there is a sacrament or not. This is the true blood and body of the Christ of Christ or not. All of these not a big deal. As if like these things are invented by the church, are made up to complicate people's life. Saint Athanasius stood in the Council of Nicaea defending a letter, not a word, a letter in the creed, and making it as something that being equal or like for the Father, between the Son and the Father. So these doctrines are saving doctrines. Believing whom Christ is, believing the way of salvation as He described it to us, is not something that we have the right to belittle them or to embrace any kind of beliefs as far as at the end of the day, I believe in Jesus. Who is Jesus that you believe in? What kind of doctrine that you communicate to your children? How much emphasis you put in this kind of issue? When they grow feeling and knowing and believing that this is not a big deal, no wonder that later on they go and join another church, another faith, and marry outside, because at the end of the day it doesn't matter as far as we all love Jesus. Another cause of offenses at home also is confusing the children by exposing them to different beliefs. It is not something trivial that I take my children to another church that is teaching another doctrine. Or I say that they have a camp. Let him or her join. It is time to spend it at the church. What do they believe in this kind of camps or this church? When they come back to you and say, in the other church, people are nice and they are loving. They don't believe as we believe. They don't have a liturgy. They don't believe that this is important. So why should I torture myself being in my Orthodox church, attending 3 hours liturgy, plus every week, in order for me to be saved? The people in the other church just told us that you only have to believe in Jesus and that's it. And once saved, always saved. Why you make it a big deal and we have to always hassle and we struggle? The other church teaching is much easier and much better for me to follow. Who did this? Who made this kind of offense? We did. We have to take these things seriously. It is not just any place that we call itself a church, then it becomes a church. It's not anything that is said from the Bible, then this is biblical. People can come with the Bible and deceive others. If they know it or not, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it is my responsibility as parent to distinguish and discern what is helpful, what is edifying, and why it might be harmful. Another cause also of offenses in the faith is when we contradict the church teaching by words or actions. What do I mean? A very common example is when we hear in the church, Abuna says, tomorrow we'll start the fast. We go home with no good reason, and then we are not fasting. The church says, for example, an occasion like Halloween, something that's not right for us to share in. We go home, And when children, they push us, we say, it's okay, you can go. No big deal. We are not going to go with all of this strictness of the church. The church warns against young children being like, dating each other. And parents go back and say, yeah, you know what? It's not a big deal as much as far as you tell me what's going on. Again, when we do this, we are communicating something beyond the point of the fasting or the Halloween or dating. We communicate to them that the church is not a reference, is not something we need to follow in every occasion. And if you give yourself the right to choose and pick, don't wonder then when your son or daughter will come at a certain age and say, I'm not going to follow this command of the church. You might perceive it as significant and important, but you taught him already that he can choose and pick and go with whatever that's fitting his belief or what he feels comfortable with. When we do this, we are offending them in the church. So we have to be careful. Again, offenses come from everywhere. Yes, we sometimes do it, and again, no one would be immune from offending others indirectly or directly. But we have to be careful. Our homes is the place where the major offenses happen. And in this very serious matter, the matter of our children's faith. What is the remedy for these offenses? How can we deal with this? How can we avoid? And also, again, I'm speaking to the young people. Yes, we are taught from our parents or at home, but you have a responsibility as well to learn on your own. You cannot blame it all on your parents saying that, okay, this I was raised, that's it. Because if you are born in a house and your parents are not educated, you try your very best to be taught and you had a degree even above and beyond what your parents ended up having. If you are born to parents who are not financially well, you are not satisfied with this. You never say that, this is how I was born, I will always live within this certain kind of financial constraint. No, you try your very best to do good in school, and then you have a good job, and then you improve your financial status. In the same way also, we have a responsibility to teach on our own, to learn on our own, to know what is right and to discern beyond even what we are taught at home. What are some of the remedies that we can follow to correct this impact of the offenses? Number one, seeking to learn at all time from the right source of knowledge. It is not because we are parents, then we are done with learning. It's over. When we finished the Sunday school, then there is no time for us again to learn. We always have to learn because we are entrusted over others. Look here how the people went to the priest at the time of Nehemiah, went to Ezra, and asked him to read for them from the scripture. Now all the people gathered together as one, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses. They want to learn because they want to follow the will of God. What God wants me to know, so I can communicate it to my family. The second remedy is following the commandment of God, even with the absence of the good example. It's not an excuse for any young person to say that I was not given a good example at home, so I'm excused. I don't have to do it. This is not going to stand before God. You cannot say, this is how my parents taught me, and this is how I lived. Even if this was the case at home, you learn on your own. You follow a good example. Look here how the Lord Christ himself directed the people at his time that they only saw the Pharisees and the scribes as example. He told them what? The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. Sometimes young people excuse themselves from confession by saying that my parents do not confess. But the Bible tells you that you need to confess. Even if your parents are not confessing and they are trying to encourage you, okay, go and confess. This is biblical. This is what God wants you to do, even if your parents are not giving you the example. The third remedy is to define always for ourselves the trusted source of information. Facebook and social media and all of these kind of like sources, most of the time communicating lies and deceit. Sadly, even with a purpose and an intention to maybe like stay in the church with a bad image. Our source of information, the right information, will always come from the church and the Bible, both of them. In the culture where we live in, most of the people, they do not regard the church as a source of information. They say only the Bible. We end up into, everyone has the right to understand and interpret the Bible as he pleases. So what happens is, we might have the same Bible in our hands, and we end up into 30,000 plus denominations. Why? Because the church is not a reference. The church cannot tell me this is right or wrong, cannot interpret for me the Bible even. And this is how we ended up today. Sadly, whenever you tell someone you are Christian, he will have to ask you, which kind of Christianity are you following? Very sad that now we do not agree, as if Christ divided. He has different thoughts and ideas and doctrines. We always have to define this for ourselves and our children. Whenever you doubt something, go to the church and the Bible. Both of them have to agree on the matter in order for this thing to be true. It is crucial for us to believe this, and it is also significant for our children to know this fact. The fourth concept as a remedy for offenses at home is to understand the human weakness. We all stumble one way or another. So whenever you see something that's offending you at home or at church, do not marvel, do not wonder, because we are human beings. If you find or you hear about a judge who took a bribe and he was not a good one, you never cease from going to court and saying, I cannot trust the judges anymore because those people are all corrupt. It is not the case, and it should not be the way how we think. If you know a policeman who will turn it in his job to become a robber, you do not say, I cannot call 911 anymore because policemen are corrupt. So we have to understand weakness can happen, and weakness is something related to the individual. It cannot be drawn over the whole system. People speak about sometimes weaknesses of the priest and try to justify it. Then we should not have priests. Priests did not appoint themselves. This is God's institution, the priesthood. You might have one or two or 100 or even 1,000 or even more than this. As corrupt, we are all weak people. But at the end of the day, this will never abolish the priesthood. This is God's institution. We find priests in the Old Testament. We find priests in heaven standing before the throne. Why? God is going to cancel it in the New Testament because of the weakness of men. The fifth remedy is to search diligently for the right and true faith. As children, we are taught certain concepts about whom God is, how man be saved. You have to do your own homework. You have to search by yourself. Even if you trust your parents, your church, you have to do your own work to come to believe out of your own knowledge. You search and you know the difference. It is not fitting that you always live on what you were taught. Maybe what you were taught was good, right, good for you. What if it was wrong? It was not exactly how God meant things. Faith is something that does not change. It is not subject to update or to bring another version, 2019 or 2020. Faith is, as St. Jude described it, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Make sure that what you believe is this kind of faith that was delivered once and for all. The last remedy is the personal diligence in learning. Whenever you start to learn, whenever you start to read, then it's part of your work that you start learning about God. When we say to children, read the Bible, it is not just like as a story. or we know about heroes from the Bible. It is about knowing their faith, knowing their God, know what God wants from them. This is the personal part. You have to contribute to your own salvation, working with God to learn from Him. This is what the Lord Christ said when He said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." The scripture, beyond anything else, will testify of Him, and you can learn from it whom God is and what God meant by His command and what He gave us to live by. Going back again, reminding all of us with this kind of responsibility, offenses happen more at home than in any other place. Home is the place that can push people forward and can turn them away. As parents, we have to understand this kind of fact, and we have to act on it, try to avoid as much as we can to offend our children in faith, and we all have the responsibility to learn, as adults or as children, to teach ourselves to know what is right, to know what God meant for us to know. May the Lord grant us all a life free from offenses, walking in our sojourn in peace till the last day. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.